Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today I am happy to be joined by Jason Zander. Jason.
Thank you for inviting
me. A man who needs no introduction, but I'll introduce you anyway. Jason is a corporate vice president at Microsoft in charge of Visual Studio. Is
yes.
that basically correct?
That sounds correct, yes.
Excellent.
All the engineering efforts that we do around Visual Studio and the, mm-hmm. all the core parts, compilers, debuggers, ALM, that kind of stuff. So.
And Jason is here to help us celebrate a wonderful day because today Visual Studio 11 beta is available.
It's out there.
Which
download
is,
it. Go
I love
play with it right away.
I love beta days because when a product gets to beta, there's a realness about it, right?
Yeah.
Not only, I mean, internally, of course, we deal with it every day, and then beta is a huge milestone. But for the customer, you know, they got the dev preview, the developer preview, they played around with it, and then there's this long, oh, when's the next version? When's the next version? When's the next version coming out? And that's today. So
little teasers along the
yep.
way sometimes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. The team gets very excited about it too.
Yes.
Obviously, because we're working very hard. We really want people's feedback. And of course, you know, the big thing that beta signals is we are coming in, you know, on the final versions of the product.
Yeah. Right?
So it's the time to download it and give us that feedback.
Yeah, so we are at this point much closer, and it's a monumental release.
That's right. And so, you know, one of the things you saw at Mix, you know, when Steven talked about the schedule, he talked about beta and RC and RTM and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the big sort of milestones in there. So this is a big one for us.
All right. Excellent. So after you watch this, of course, go download it. Visual Studio as well as Windows 8 consumer preview is available for download today.
Yep.
So go get those, play around with them, but watch this first, of course.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can go a number of ways in this. You can spend a little bit of time giving us the broad vision, but we won't spend too much time on that because we want you to show some of your favorite features of the product.
Yeah, that's always the fun part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from a scoping perspective, you know, I would say every release of Visual Studio that we do, we really want to make sure that the tool does a fantastic job enabling developers to go write, you know, their workloads, especially against the new platforms that Microsoft is producing. So we've got obviously new version of Windows coming out, so it's mm-hmm. one of our key kind of workloads here. We also want to make improvements for things like SharePoint and web authoring and, you know, all the rest of the sort of workloads you might want to go do. At the same time, we're also trying to think about the team.
Yeah.
Right? And we want to make sure that your team environment is going well. And so we've got new implementations and features for application lifecycle management in TFS, Visual Studio Ultimate, you know, those sorts of features as well. So kind of want to be able to make sure the individual dev, you know, in there
yep.
kind of carving away at the stone, you know, building stuff, has got good tools all the way up to the team, you know, and there's literally just thousands of cool new things, you know, in
yeah,
here.
Everything
I spent
from
all day here telling you
everything from the apps you're currently working on today that you just have better tools to apply to some of the new features, and then an entirely new class of applications that we'll touch
That's
on a
right.
little bit later.
Turns out most people don't just start from scratch. So of course we want you to be able to take
yep.
the existing apps and keep moving. That's one of the cool new features, actually a favorite feature, is the ability to open a Visual
right.
Studio 2010 project, pull it up in Visual Studio 11, that's our code name, pull it up into that application environment to be able to party on the application,
mm-hmm.
but I can still share it with you.
Right, exactly.
In the past, we kind of updated the formats too much so that once you opened it in the new version, it wouldn't work, vice versa, and you know, so it's kind of one of the cool new features. So
right. Yeah. As long as you remember not to change the project to target the 4.5 framework
that
so that
true.
It doesn't compile in Visual Studio
that's
2010
true.
Anymore. But
we're going to give you, you know, the full power tools.
Right.
So, you know, be careful how you wield it, you know, as a tool.
Exactly.
But yeah, it does allow you to do all the right kind of stuff. So
cool. So what are your favorite features?
Well, let me walk through just, you know, a quick set of stuff. And like
yeah.
I said, there's literally just tons and tons of features in here. We could spend all day. We are doing a lot of online material, both through Channel 9, other forums as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think no matter what kind of programming language, no matter what kind of platform you're targeting, what type of app you're building, you'll find a lot of really great material for you. But let me just start off with a few things. I'll just pick off, you know, a few kind of favorite features. First thing I want to show off is this is the new shell.
Yeah.
Right? And so we did make some changes to the new shell. One of the things you'll notice is that, you know, we've got a little bit more of kind of the Metro, you know, sort of styling. It's something Microsoft is kind of pulling in
mm-hmm.
across all of our products. And you'll see, for example, we have kind of like the all cap sort of stuff and things like that in there as well. One of the key things that we were trying to do, and let me switch over to a project that actually has some code open in here. I kind of like the dark style.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of people. This is actually one of the most favorite downloaded features on Visual Studio 2010 was the dark editor theme. So we did a better job trying to integrate some of this stuff right in, but I still have Metro. For me, the first change I'm going to make, I'm actually going to go ahead and change over to dark theme. A little bit like what you can
okay.
do in Office. Okay. I love dark theme. I think it's pretty cool.
It looks kind of blend-like, doesn't it?
Props to the blend guys, our expression brethren, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Okay, cool. But yeah, so you can get kind of good, and you can, as usual, customize everything that you want. But a few things about the UI here. One, the intent is to act on the feedback we got from people that says, look, you know, I'm a developer. I care about my code, mm-hmm. right? So to the extent that the IDE has like toolbar, property window, file window, control toolbox, right. output window, and there's this wallet size space, which is my code. It's like, come on, guys, you know, you need to do better. Don't, you know, stop doing that. And so we did do things like, you notice that there's only one toolbar on here. Even when I start debugging,
way less clutter.
You know, Malta's less clutter. Mm-hmm. Each one of the toolbars has kind of been reduced to the core set that we know people are using.
Right.
Customizability is still in there. You can pull back anything you want. Yep. You know, that no problems there. That's one of the core things we did. The other thing we wanted to be able to do, and in this case, I have a C++ application that I have open here that I'm actually editing and going through. As you see me kind of browsing, I'm just, you know, using my mouse to make the text a little bit easier to read through the video capture. But, you know, a few things. One, if I go up here in the left-hand corner, I've got a navigate button in here. You notice I've got
love
my history.
It. Okay. Love it.
Because the tab management is something we did with Productivity Power Tools.
Yep.
And we built Productivity Power Tools into the product. You can see we even have like a, you know, the preview tab mm-hmm. over here. And so we did a lot of stuff with smart tab management. But the point here is make it easy to navigate and find what I want. Make it so that my code's front and center. Try not to shove in a bunch of, you know, extraneous, you know, UI when I take certain actions and things like that. And, you know, enable me to find everywhere. So like here, for example, a search. You know, I can go in and actually search across my project, and I can actually, you know, start outlining all my content. You can see here I'm actually doing browsing and getting down into the actual content.
Right.
These are methods, fields, properties. This happens to be C++, works in other languages too.
Yep.
But the idea is now instead of having to navigate, here's my object browser window, here's this, you know, like, no, I want all of that. This is my other favorite feature. We have lots of commands in Visual Studio. Lots
type
of commands.
Font. That's my favorite one.
Font? Yeah, font. Yes, font. Where is font?
I don't know. There it is.
There's font.
Yes.
You should be able to just go in and go
love
do that.
It.
Oh, good. It's under environment. You know, here I've already branched down, but we have lots of options.
Yes.
They all kind of make sense, but, you know, boy, I sure would like to font. Debug's my other favorite one,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we have a lot. You know, in fact, we've added graphics debugging for C++. We show that off at the Build conference, really cool stuff. But it gives you the ability to navigate and find quickly. And that was kind of one of the themes that you'll see kind of throughout Visual Studio. So get in here, find the hubs, history.
If you've memorized all the keyboard shortcuts, you can just continue to use them. But if you're like me and you haven't, that's awesome.
There's lots of value in here. But, you know, so that's kind of some of that. It's another good example. Download the beta, right? UIs are always interesting. You'll also notice, for example, there's far less use of gradients and sharp edges. And that's mostly draw my eye into the code, you know, or whatever the asset is, the form, or take your pick.
Right.
So anyway, lots of good stuff in there. You know, that's the new version. A little bit of C++, you know, pieces in here. Let me show you another kind of cool feature. We talked about Windows 8. Let me go in and open another application that I've got. This one is a reader app that we're kind of prototyping on our team.
Mm-hmm.
Kieran Mockford, who did one of the you know, general sessions at Build, is building this application, and we're using it as part of our testing and those sorts of purposes. But you can see this is a JavaScript application, HTML, JavaScript, you know, CSS 5. One of the other things that we've done a lot in this release is we're really spending a lot of time helping out and doing more stuff with JavaScript. Right, so extra IntelliSense, and you know, with a type language like JavaScript,
you need all the help you can get.
IntelliSense is hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, so we're literally hosting some of our runtime engines. The engine that we host in IE, our JavaScript engine, we host it in VS. We use that to help us evaluate, try and give you the right answers for IntelliSense and those sort of things. But we've got to give you the right kind of, you know, content. Let's launch this application here. You know, it's under development. I'll probably have some crashes. And we have some cache data. Every once in a while we refresh it and that kind of stuff. It's a test application. And it's for us to go test the tools and make sure they're in there. But what you can notice is, cool, I can even see that, yes, I've got some awesome ability to go catch that. But nonetheless, you see that we have, you know, articles and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we expect this kind of might be a fairly typical application that someone's going to write, a reader app, you know, something like that. We want to make it super easy. You saw that I caught an exception in here so I could debug my code.
Right.
Also, first-class, you know, a debugging experience for that. Stop debugging on that because that's pretty cool. So I can build out whatever apps that I want. You know, with this version, I can go through and also do, of course, the templates. If I do the, you know, new project, we have all of the different types of projects up here that you can pull in. And, of course, that includes all of the new Metro style user interface.
Right, so you're running on Windows 8, obviously.
I'm running on Windows 8, yes. I am, actually. You saw me kind of flip back over here. So I'm definitely running over here in Windows 8. Mm-hmm. What I also want to do here, though, is let's look at one other one here. If I open this project, let's go to Expression Blend. And, of course, this is HTML. Okay, so one of the things we want you to be able to do, we support XAML, we support HTML, JavaScript, C++, C#, Visual Basic. I mean, we have it all in here. But of course, what we're doing is we're now pulling in addition to our XAML tooling, we're adding some of this HTML tooling.
No, Blend for HTML. So if you're building HTML, this is a no-brainer upgrade, right? That alone, reason to upgrade.
This is really cool, and you know, of course, it is the Blend designer. And so I get the normal kind of live DOM you know, tree that I can have over here. You can see we're able to identify HTML elements and the CSS properties that are here, so it's nice and easy. Now, the other cool thing, you know, for me, when you are writing this kind of application, these modern applications are not just static HTML content.
Right? Lots of dynamic content.
So I love this interactive mode. If I turn on interactive mode, I'm actually now running the app.
Excellent. And
it's inside of the designer, but I'm running the app. And you can see it's all live. It's all kind of working through here. So I can go into, you know, any particular piece. Let's click on our tech cache that's in here. And now once I get back, you know, see, oftentimes, if I couldn't click this to render this content, I can't get to this page.
Right?
I mean, because I got to do extra stuff. So if I go out of interactive mode, then I'm moving back into design mode. And so once again, now that I'm here, I can go in, select something, see what its CSS properties are, figure out, you know, some dynamic content.
Kind of like the page inspector in ASP.NET?
I think they got some great inspiration from our Blend friends. But they're both good, right? I mean, this technique of saying, hey, dynamic content, it's the way you do this type of code. So we need the tools to enable you to still look at that. So Page Inspector, also very cool. I can write an ASP.NET application. I can run the website, actually have it pop up in the window.
You're looking at the pages it renders and looking at the properties at runtime.
At runtime.
Awesome.
Well, I moved out of interactive mode, so now I'm in the inspection mode. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of actually working in designer mode. I can go back into interactive. This is where I would look for, you know, issues like maybe this isn't lining up correctly.
Right.
I could check my CSS and that kind of stuff. But normally you would do this with trial and error.
Yeah. Make some changes.
F5,
close the window, F5. Here you can make a change. Go and see it, make a change, go and see it. Very, very interactive. That's
so perfect. I like the innovation both here and then as well back in Visual Studio. Like I said, for ASP.NET and Page Inspector, another good example, same kind of technique.
Yep.
And of course, you know, we're sharing a lot of this kind of content, you know, basically, you know, through all this sort of stuff.
Right.
Okay. So cool stuff. Like I mentioned, I didn't show a Metro style application with XAML, C# and VB, but those are all supported as well.
Yep.
You know, you get the full support for doing that kind of design in there. So, you know, no matter what your skill set is and what your kind of what you feel.
Do you have the same interactive ability on XAML apps, or is that just an HTML thing in Blend?
Well, the thing about the way that XAML itself kind of runs is we had some of those capabilities already.
Yeah.
It was harder to do it with HTML, CSS, JavaScript, right? Because then you need to kind of start hooking into the actual pipeline for the browser and the rendering stuff. So this is actually a collaboration with us and the Internet Explorer team to be able to enable everything you just saw.
Right.
Yeah, so a lot of work. But it's pretty cool. And I think what you should expect is, you know, as we keep going, we're going to keep making investments in these technologies, and we'll keep getting better and better as we go. I want to show another, you know, kind of cool thing here. Since we were talking about Blend, let's create a WPF application.
Okay.
This one we'll create in Visual Basic. Once again, we're kind of going to go hit all of our favorite tools and languages and runtimes and that kind of stuff. The other cool thing you're seeing, so this is the Blend designer in Visual Studio. Right, and so like if you go to 2010, the thing that we had is we had, you know, a designer in Visual Studio, and it was a nice, you know, had more of the WinForms, WebForms kind of feel, drag and drop from the toolbox. And we had this really great, you know, expression designer, Blend, you know, the Blend designer.
Outside of the product.
Kind of got to go back. And we have round tripping, and it works great and all that kind of stuff. But what we found is there's a bunch of cool features that people wanted. You know, and then just for us from an engineering team, it's great to get onto one base to go do this. So I have this, you know, new VB app. You know, and once again, here's another good example of the IDE. I can just basically do search. So let's look for button. Okay, that's kind of a nice thing. I can pull a button over here, which is a drag and drop feature. It's Visual Studio, but it is the Blend designer. You can actually see how the properties and some of the cursors and stuff are lined up. That is more of a Blend, you know, kind of style of feature. So I can create my button that goes sideways, and you know, that's going to work pretty well. I can, you know, come back and maybe we'll go this way so it fits better. So
okay.
I don't know why you do this, but you can do this, you know. But the point is, you know, all of the property windows, everything else, the stuff that you're used to in Blend, you know, but still with the kind of Visual Studio kind of feel for how you interact with the tool. Let's give this thing a name on here, and just to show that it, you know, it is just Visual Studio, I can still go double click this skewed button. Let's make that a little bigger so you can see. I'm in Visual Basic, so me.myButton, content, not coerce value, that's an interesting one, but I think we want content equals hello. Save that guy, build that guy, launch that guy, boom, and I click
excellent.
It and I get hello. So
excellent.
Mm-hmm. So you get the idea. But the core thing here was making some advancements also for being able to kind of use the same designer base in here inside of Visual Studio.
Right.
The other thing I'd point out on this, of course, is I'm running in desktop mode in Windows 8. So I'm running a desktop. Mm-hmm. So this thing is also going to work on my Windows 7 machine that I've got over here.
Right.
And of course, we are continuing to invest, you know, well into Windows Forms, you know, into WPF, into web forms, you know, we've got a new version of MVC. So when you start thinking about some of these properties and what they look like, I get a lot of questions like, well, what does that mean? You got this Metro thing, but you got this, like, you know, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that you've got first-class tools and we're, you know, providing those, because you know, you're not just going to go rewrite all your apps from scratch.
Right.
You know, that's why the kind of round-tripping on projects and some of these new features, I think, are going to be really important to help people.
Yeah, this XAML Designer in Visual Studio, I'll have to do an entire show on it. It's very, very cool. You know, there's an entire generation of us that learned XAML by typing, because originally there wasn't a designer. You can still do that. We're kind of trained to do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, even in 2010, I find myself more often than not typing in the XAML. The designer's good, mind you, but I still find myself typing. This designer, I'm going to train myself to stop typing XAML, except when I have to. This designer is that good that you really ought to stop typing by hand and start using
it. It's nice and flexible.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the cool thing. I mean, you got kind of both views. And, of course, Expression, you know, Blend, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, already have this. And so, but I'm kind of the same way. I sometimes do best by, you know, just hitting open an open angle bracket and start typing in button,
right.
and then, which is good. But then, like, for the visual look and feel, the designer is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of color eyedrop picker for color, especially, you know, getting the effects and gradients down.
Right.
I can't figure out how to type that
well,
in.
Well, the coolest thing I saw I've ever seen in the designer is, you know, you've got a couple text blocks and you decide I want those in a stack panel.
Yes.
You can do that by essentially right clicking and saying group in a stack panel in the designer without having to type any XAML at all.
Yeah.
I saw that and I said, okay, I'm sold.
I want that productivity.
I want that.
Yeah. I talk to a lot of folks.
Because what a pain. You've got giant XAML, and then you type stack panel, and Visual Studio puts the closing bracket there, and then you move it, and then all of a sudden you get red lines everywhere.
It's nice to kind of help you with several of those things.
Yeah.
Now, the philosophy we're going after, we want both to work equally well. Because when I talk to people, it's kind of like, you know, do you use tabs or do you use spaces in your file?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only one right answer. But, you know, we can agree to disagree, right? And so what I find is, just like the dark theme, not everybody likes the dark theme, but, you know, like, so we want to make sure both work. There are certainly people that are exceptionally good in the keyboard and really just fast, want that to work. But you're right. For me, you know, when I'm doing that kind of stuff, I like the productivity wins. It helps me do the more complicated tasks. Maybe if the markup is a little bit more challenging, I'd rather, you know, have the designer do that than me kind of, you know, flipping through the book or, you know, searching through the page for the reference and you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's flexible. Kind of gives you both of those sort of things. Let's look at another one here. Let me go back over. And one of the other things that we did, this happens to be an example application that is written. This is a WPF application. This one happens to be written in C Sharp, I believe, this one. And then, let's see. I've got to click and reload the designer because I've got compilation pieces. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
But we've got all the sort of content in here. This one is, like I mentioned, it's an earthquake example in here. Let's just go ahead and run it. The application itself goes off.
It doesn't cause earthquakes, I hope.
No. I haven't figured that one out. I mean, they probably, you know, do the evil thing. But, you know, so we could do that. Man, I could make that a web service, and then we could like, charge them. That's probably not very, very polite to the world. But, you know, you can get basically feeds, you know, go ahead and get the mapping in here. So it's a typical kind of, you know, JSON, you know, kind of, you know, feed, you know, go.
Where did earthquakes occur?
The key thing that, you know, I want to pull in here, though, is to talk about the unit testing piece. Unit testing, clearly something that you need to be doing. You got to be doing it.
Do we know what percentage of Visual Studio developers actually do it?
That's a good question. I don't know empirically what the actual percentage is. All the advanced teams that I talk to, they're clearly doing it. Mm-hmm. We expect our developers writing this stuff. We use these tools ourselves. We expect our developers to be, you know, doing that. But we want to make sure that it's easy for you.
Yeah.
Right? And so we've had some kind of unit testing support, but, you know, we want this to be part of this kind of, you know, edit, compile, debug, deploy. You know, unit testing needs to be in there. I mean, testing has to be there. You know, we've done a bunch of testing, you know, investments for, you know, feature level testing, integration testing, but we want the unit test kind of front and center. And so one of the things that we spent a bunch of time on, you know, in this particular release was actually investing in our unit tests and our unit test frameworks. One of the things we wanted to do, first of all, we want to make it really easy for you to discover and get out, you know, the stuff up and running. You can see here that my project has a unit test built in.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the earthquake demo code, but I've also got the unit tests that are in here. We're actually using another feature in here called fakes, which actually allows us to do some of the stubbing for the mm-hmm. services that we're looking at to make that so I can actually force conditions and things like that. So we've added new support for you to be able to do some of the mocking, you know, sort of work that you want so you can actually, you know, write your unit tests in there. And you'll see that I've actually got these things that are discoverable. I can run everything through here. Let's actually force a failure. So let's say that I'm actually making some live edits in my code, my tests, you know, all the rest of these sort of components. You know, I'll go through and make my builds kind of run. You notice when I clicked off the build, it actually just ran it.
Ran the tests.
Yeah, so I've got, you know, so I've got the failure. But what you kind of want is, look, I'm composing, I'm working, you know, I'm going back and forth. I might be using, you know, a test-driven development kind of approach, mm-hmm. whatever approach that I'm using, though, if I'm refactoring and those sort of works, I want the results, I want these things in there, got to be part of the cycle.
It's part of the process. You didn't build and then go off and have to remember to run your unit tests. You built and the tests ran as part of that, and you saw immediately that you messed up the code.
I want the
that
continuous,
is so cool.
You know, kind of feedback and everything else.
It's just part of the cycle.
And then we've got the normal kind of searching and filtering and the stuff that you kind of expect. This project's a little bit small, so it has just some representative test cases mm-hmm. in here. What I can tell you is that I asked the team for this release. Anyway, the other thing we've been spending a lot of time on is performance, scalability, those sort of things. I asked them to make sure that I could run a million test cases in a linear scale, right, at time, right? Like if I have a null test case, all it does is return, yep, it worked,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Like, go run, you know. We settled on 100,000.
Okay.
So we said, okay, maybe a million wasn't quite what people were actually going to do. And I wanted that one just to prove the point that, look, okay, I really want this to work. But yeah, we've actually done a lot of work on the scalability.
What do you think the equivalent number is for 2010?
Well, it's not 100,000.
I know.
I will tell you that. And I don't know that a lot of the framework runners out there can actually go do that.
Now,
whether you're actually going to go put 100,000 test cases in your project, you're probably not going to do that. The point was more from an engineering perspective. I wanted to, like, you know, really scale up and work well. Mm-hmm. There are filtering works when you start getting to large numbers. I don't want stuff to start falling over, you know, and those sort of things. So scalability, you know, along those lines, we've also worked really hard on reducing the working set that's being used by Visual Studio itself. So we actually went through and shaved off, you know, quite a bit of working set, you know, so that you're actually just kind of staying in there with more features enabled, mm-hmm. right? So I want TFS, I want, you know, checkouts and all that kind of stuff. I want all of those things. And by the way, I only want your memory consumption here, not here. So we did a bunch of work in there. You'll see some of that stuff show up. You'll also see some other work on opening projects and, you know, kind of responsiveness, you know, sort of stuff. We're going to keep working on performance.
References dialogue is blazingly fast now.
That, some
you
of the
add a reference,
stuff,
they are just there. No more waiting.
Yeah. So some caching and some smart stuff, you know, opening projects and things like that. I'm not going to say that we're done with that because we're going to keep working on performance. I'm not, you know, like waving the victory flag. I'm not saying that at all. But that is an area that we concentrated on. This was just a good example.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here, unit testing, you know, pretty cool stuff. Want to make sure we get that. But let's flip back over and let me show you just like one more thing because, you know, geez, we could spend all day coming in here. Let me kind of go back over to home. One of the things that we've got here, this is Team Foundation Service, right? So this is hosted TFS, running up on Azure. We're in preview mode. We've got, you know, a bunch of users that are starting to give us feedback. We're starting to ramp that up with more and more. What I'll tell you is this, the same interface is designed to also work on TFS on-prem,
mm-hmm.
right? So
okay.
You can install behind the firewall. I've got my own version. You can up and run. I happen to be using a version that's online right here. But there's several different things. For this release, what I would tell you is that for our engineering teams, we're probably about 50% or so on Scrum utilization, just as for internally, as we're building these products, probably about 50%. We're up closer to like 90. right? 90-some percent of the teams using Scrum. And one of the things that we do as we roll through is we try and figure out what things would help us scale building these projects.
Right.
Visual Studio, Blend, .NET Framework, you know, the JavaScript runtime, all of these things. And we try and put those into the product itself. So this is a great example, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're at a point where we're, you know, what we call dogfooding and using, you know, essentially the same support you see here
right.
to finish off the rest of the Visual Studio 11 project. Some cool stuff in here. First of all, if you're using Scrum, and some of these things in the metaphors work with the other templates as well, but mm-hmm. I'm using the Scrum template here. I want to be able to do things like, you know, kind of groom my backlog, figure out what the product backlog looks like. And this should be as simple as what you see. Well, it is, right?
Right.
This is the web. I just use a browser. nothing special. I can drag and drop things around. I can add new ones just by typing them in. If I go into a sprint boundary, you can see here that we've got some capacity planning. So you and me, Tony, Drew, yep. you know, we can actually split up the work and I can actually get a feeling for where things are going. I can add new things in. And of course, I can move over into the task board and look at where the content looks like. And of course, all the stuff is just hooked up, not only here, because we do this in the stand-up, but this same stuff, it's just TFS. So
right.
these work items here, they're actually sitting in the TFS repository. So as a developer, when I implement, you know, this hidden code feature, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
I can actually make my pending check-in point to that task
right.
and tie the two together, get the full build, get the unit testing, get the functional testing, all that kind of stuff. When it gets checked in, this one gets resolved over to done. The next day when we come in, it's done. The other way I can, of course, do this is, you know, I can just move it over to done in my
right.
stand-up.
That is just screaming to be connectified, don't you think?
I think we should do Connect. I think there is a prototype for Connect. We should,
Awesome.
Do a show on Connect if you have, with that, and let's go write it. I think
yeah,
that sounds
that'd
like
be
fun.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, it's perfect for that. You know, the big mm-hmm. kind of radiator
yeah.
screen like we have behind us, you know, it's
yep.
great for stand-ups, you know, drag and drop. And of course, touch will work. It's,
yeah.
So I can,
if this is a big touch screen, we could do that.
If this is a touch screen,
yep.
then I could actually go use that. So yeah, the metaphors and everything else work very well. But this is a good example for us where, you know, for us, you know, the unit testing support, you know, the backlog support, some of the kind of storyboarding work that we did mm-hmm. on requirements, you know, all those sorts of things, those are things we're using in day-to-day development in order to go finish the project itself.
Yep.
So a bunch of really cool stuff. We really did a significant amount of work on Agile, you know, in this particular release. So that's a quick whirlwind tour. I didn't even talk about async, which is also pretty darn
yep.
cool.
That's a
all
cool
the cool
feature.
New stuff that we've done in C++, you know, the graphics libraries, amazing amount of stuff in there. I could go on for
we
like
can do
how
this
much time do
for
you
days.
Have? Do we have three hours? Maybe not.
I'm certainly gonna do you know, starting today, do a ton of Visual Studio 11 content on this show. This show has been mostly 2010 content up to this point with time to time, I would ask somebody, well, what's going to happen in the next version? So we'd get a little taste of it.
Yep.
But now that beta's here, this show's going to, we're going to kind of flip the bit here. We're not going to stop doing 2010 content, of course, but we're going to spend a lot of time on Visual Studio 11.
Perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
So the big thing I would say, you've seen all the cool functionality here. You know, once again, the team, you know, we're very excited about showing these sort of stuff off. We're definitely looking forward to getting that feedback. So
we'll
have people download it.
Couple questions. I know apart from the usual answer, download Visual Studio 11 beta, put it on the same machine as Visual Studio 2010. Is that any?
Yes, it works fine.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a supported scenario. I'm actually running that on this laptop.
Okay.
This is a Windows 7 laptop, and I have both on this
okay,
machine.
Okay, so no reason not to do that.
They both run completely side by side, and again, with the cool round tripping thing, it means I can actually open the same project in the two
right.
IDEs, the two versions, and be able to have that actually work, which normally is the case where, like, you're using 2010, I want to try out 11, but
right.
I'm still working in the same way. Like, I want to try that new Blend designer.
Yes, I was just
open the project.
That's the example that just popped into my head. I've got a XAML app that running on Framework 4, but I fire up Visual Studio 11 to work on the XAML because I love the designer so much, and then just
yes.
head back into 2010 to
Party
potentially
up.
Do the code. Yeah,
using
that's
hosted TFS
right.
in your account, so we're exchanging bits
mm-hmm.
back and forth and sync
yep.
it up, because of course I can just connect to that right from this environment. So
let's talk a little bit about Metro apps. Obviously, a lot has been talked about Win8 and Metro apps. Let's approach it from you know, the standpoint of one of our typical line of business customers, right? I work in an enterprise, I do line of business apps, forms over data, that's what I've done. Visual Studio 11 I want it, it's going to make my life better, I love the tooling. Where does Metro fit in for me as a line of business developer? Is it just about games and photo viewers, or
certainly not? And so, you know, again, and the key point I always want to keep reminding people: full support your existing projects, the types of projects you're talking about. Open them up, party on, new features in here, but it still allows you to keep building those applications, which are going to deploy to multiple versions of Windows, not just Windows 8. We have all that great support, not walking away from it. So now, if you're getting into a mode where, I actually do want to go off and go build a Metro-style application, you can absolutely go do that. And so, and we have all the support built in right here. Of course, we have our Express versions of Visual Studio for people to download and just run for free and go do whatever you want. But if you've got the full version, the Ultimate, like I have here, I can also do that. From a line of business perspective, here's what you're going to get. You have the Windows runtime. As I mentioned, some of your C# and Visual Basic assets, your XAML assets, you're going to be able to pull those over.
Right.
Of course, I can use C++, and I can also use JavaScript, HTML. So you have all of those technology ranges available to you. And so you will be able to build your enterprise-style applications. The thing you'll have up front, though, that I will tell people to set expectations, some of the advanced productivity stuff we've done specifically around line of business, like the kind of forms and data binding, sort of scenarios and those sort of things, you won't find as many of the auto magic, stuff, we'll call it that, the kind of in the designer, automatically binds, automatically does those sort of things. We haven't done those yet in Metro-style applications. And you need to decide from your architecture standpoint, is that something you want, or am I going to, for example, put more and more of my code up on an ASP.NET service running on Azure, right? I might be doing that instead.
Right.
I'm really more surfacing like JSON feeds and stuff like that, consuming those as web services. That's a very fast way to get stuff up and running. But I think the form factors, this happens to be an X, 220 Lenovo ThinkPad.
Okay.
This is actually a touch display.
Ah, okay.
Right? And so I've got full out touch on here. If I'm running Windows, I happen to not have a lot of applications on here. It's a dev machine. You can see I have my app.
You do have you do have the store there somewhere.
Yeah, this is kind of the near final build that we've got here that's basically up and running. But again, I have touch support, and I have cursor and mouse and keyboard support. So like the one thing that I've answered a lot of questions on that. We're not replacing mouse with touch.
Right.
We're saying touch is also interesting, right? There's a big difference there. And, and I actually think that's quite powerful. So when you think about writing your line of business app, you can absolutely go ahead and do that. I think the scenario that we might have on here is going to be something where, I have my touch screen or my tablet, kind of form factor, kind of like the preview machines that we gave out at Build, that kind of device.
Yep.
I can absolutely do things like that earthquake thing. There's no reason that couldn't have been an insurance, form submitting application where I'm adding a claim, pulling up some map data, matching these things together.
Yeah, expense reports, billing, find out where my consultants are and, change their basic billing rate and schedule them out, kind of stuff like that.
All those things I think are totally valid.
If you have a machine like this, you can do heads down data entry because you can just flip it around and start typing. If you've got some kind of portable slate, maybe not so much, but...
Well, then you might run in both modes. Like, I've used the preview device that we had from Build. I've been actually using that in my office for my day job, right? So I can actually take the device into my conference room, and I can use it for swiping, whatever. Come back to my office, shove it into the docking station.
Yeah.
Now I have a keyboard and a mouse.
It's got a USB port. You can plug in.
Another monitor.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I've got the desktop in one and the Metro kind of interface on the other, and it's a good kind of combination. So I find that actually works, quite well. So I think all those combinations will be available to folks, and we concentrated on making sure that we could do the core of your app development for Metro style. So the design, the compile, debug, the store integration, so you can submit your applications and do all the packaging, everything you need to go off and build the apps. We've done all of that work. And so then after that, just expect that we'll continue to improve that. There's like really cool features that we've had historically that aren't quite there, yet with our Metro support, at some point we will add those or kind of the equivalent, semantic level features that are designed specifically to work well in that environment.
Right.
So it'll keep coming. But yeah, I mean, it's wide open what you can do.
We'll have to ship this version first, though.
Yes. We need to get done. We need to get done.
Exactly.
But it's coming along quite well.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been awesome.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And congratulations on getting beta out the door.
Thank you.
So I hope this was fun for you. Obviously, the advice, go get it, download it, install it, play with it. Let us know what you think. Let me know what features you want to see in this show. As I mentioned before, we're going to be doing a lot of Visual Studio 11 on this show in the coming episodes. And happy beta day.
Yes.
So thanks a lot. Exciting. See you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.